You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves site on Fansided. Happy Monday, everybody. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order at builtbar.com. All right, a busy weekend, a lot to talk about today. I know I wanted to get back into the big board for the draft, but there's actually just too much news from the weekend that we have to cover. So there, of course, is the Karl Anthony Towns rumor, pseudo rumor from late Thursday we addressed on Friday's show. So I guess talk about that a little bit more here off the top. And then also address a Jonathan Wasserman report from early Monday that actually just came out regarding the Timberwolves, what some sources are saying the Wolves are leaning towards doing with the number one pick. And of course, the Timberwolves bubble is ongoing. They had their first scrimmage Sunday evening. There was a little bit of highlights, a few stats thrown around online. So we'll talk high points there. Of course, there was also, if you haven't heard to this point, Malik Beasley was arrested on Sunday in Plymouth. So we'll talk real quickly here up top about that. There's only so much we can say. And then if we have time today, talk a little bit about team building. One of my writers over at Dunking with Wolves wrote about a couple of teams to emulate that the Wolves could emulate when it comes to team building. And one was the Denver Nuggets, which we've talked about here on the show before. But there's another team that he wrote about that I wanted to dive into a little bit more. If we don't have time today, that'll be on Tuesday's show. So quickly, the Malik Beasley stuff from Sunday. This was an early Sunday report. First, it was Shams Charania and John Krasinski were at The Athletic that reported this, that Malik Beasley was arrested late Saturday. He's facing felony weapons and drug charges in Minneapolis. The kind of the cliff notes are the police were called to his residence in Plymouth. Somebody had brandished a gun at a car outside and police showed up and had a search warrant, discovered some stolen property, some drugs on the property. Malik Beasley's attorney issued a statement that said that there were many people at the residence. And actually, here's the direct statement. At the time of the incident, multiple individuals were present at the residence. The allegations against Malik will be defended vigorously. So we don't know much else. We know he was released from jail later Sunday, and he has not been formally charged as of yet. Just know that he had been arrested. So there's obviously still a lot of fact-finding to be done here, a lot of moving pieces. We obviously hope that this gets resolved. The Timberwolves, from a team perspective, their statement just said something to the effect of, we're aware of the situation and the process of gathering information. So way too early to speculate on what this could mean in terms of basketball, how serious, if he will be charged, if he is charged, you know, what that process looks like and how this could affect his free agency. Of course, he's a restricted free agent. And one of the biggest decisions the Wolves have is how to, or if they want to try and retain him. And if so, what they feel like he's worth in restricted free agency and what they're willing to pay. Also, we talked about this late last week. Beasley was part of the individual workouts the week prior to last at Mayo Clinic Square, as was Karl Anthony Towns. In fact, Beasley was the one that posted an Instagram story with Kat, with Russell, obviously Beasley, in the gym at 6 or 7 in the morning the previous week. Now, Karl Anthony Towns is not in the bubble currently, neither is Malik Beasley, but Beasley was obviously in the Twin Cities. And there had been an initial report that he wasn't going to take part in the full bubble. Obviously some injury concerns headed into free agency. And now, of course, there's this to worry about as well, which is more significant clearly than the possibility of an injury. So we'll keep tabs on that. There's not really anything analysis wise to say about it, but something to pay attention to here moving forward. All right. The other news, the Cat stuff from late last week, of course, if you missed it somehow, Karl Anthony Towns, there's a rumor that Darren Wolfson heard from an agent of a prospect in the draft who spoke to a player on a team currently in the NBA that Karl Anthony Towns is, quote, as good as gone from the Timberwolves. Of course, he's got 4 years on his deal. They just traded for his best friend. And just because he's not present for voluntary workouts and celebrating his girlfriend's birthday after having just been in town the previous week working out with teammates does not mean that he is as good as gone. I gave my thoughts pretty extensively on that on Friday. So if you want to hear those, go back and listen to the show from Friday. I do think that this will somewhat blow over. I just think, the next step is eventually when Kat does emerge and speak with the media, he's going to have a lot more to talk about, a lot more to answer to. These I guess the allegation that he no longer wants to be in Minnesota. It's not something that he's ever really given any credence to in the past. There hasn't really been any whispers about him being unhappy previously. So we'll see what comes of that. But, you know, there's a lot of these Karl Anthony Towns potential trade pieces out there. There's a lot of consideration for what could the Wolves get for him, what teams could be interested, what teams could afford to trade for Cat from an asset perspective or from a salary cap perspective. So that's something we'll keep tabs on moving forward. I just don't know that there's much concrete or much that we could really say about that that hasn't already been said. So not really much else on that front at this point. Next up, I want to talk a little bit about first of all, the bubble, and then this Jonathan Wasserman at Bleacher Report. I want to talk about his reporting related to what the Wolves are reportedly looking to do with the number one pick in the draft. It's a little bit of a more concrete take. It's really the first time that we've had anybody report what people actually think the Wolves are going to do ultimately if they can't trade the pick, versus just everyone assuming like, Edwards fits the team better, or Ball's the best player in the draft. This at least there's a little bit of sourcing here, some Western Conference executives. So read off some of those quotes that Wasserman has and then get into talking about the bubble, some of the stats that Timberwolves released, some of the video that's out there, and what we can glean from the first scrimmage in the Timberwolves in-market bubble. Before we do that, let's talk about our great friends at DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep the communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees. That's zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store. Enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, before we jump into draft talk, let's talk about the in-market bubble. So the Wolves have been in the bubble now, I guess, after the hard quarantine of 48 hours or so at the start of last week. They've really been in the bubble, been releasing content from their video team since like Wednesday of last week. So we're 5 or 6 days into this. And the Wolves have 3 scheduled scrimmages, the first coming on Sunday evening. At this point, nothing has been televised or streamed live anywhere. There was some talk last week that that's a possibility. This first one wasn't. There's a little bit of video, some B-roll, some practice footage kind of spliced together by the Wolves video team on Twitter. So go check that out. Just based on the video, Keelan Martin had some really impressive drives to the basket as well as some nice jumpers. Jalen Noel had some good catch and shoot moments. Jordan McLaughlin looked good. Jarrett Culver had a couple of nice moves. Also had a shot, a layup blocked by Josh Okogie. Naz Reid was very active based on those videos. Again, this is a highly edited minute or so video on Twitter that I'm trying to pull this out of, but some good looking highlights in there. Some good things to see. According to the Wolves website, and this is Shabazz Khan, who we talked about last week, he posted an article with a couple quotes, Ryan Saunders, and then just a little, there's no box score, but he's got some stats that he lists. He says, thriving during the night were Keelan Martin and Naz Reid. The duo combined for 54 of their team's 77 points. Martin shot 11 of 21, converted 5 of 12 3-point attempts and route to a scrimmage high 31 points. Reid had 23 points on 10 of 19 shooting. There were 7 players that scored in double figures in the first of 3 expected scrimmages during the in-market bubble, according to Khan. The team practices Monday and then scrimmages at Target Center. Again, this is actually on the Target Center floor on Thursday night. So practice Monday. I'm sure they'll have an off day somewhere there, Tuesday or Wednesday, or a day where they do, you know, less on-court work and more team bonding type stuff, and then a scrimmage again on Thursday. By my count, I believe this goes through the first part of next week. I think there's supposed to be 3 scrimmages, and I believe the bubble wraps up early next week, puts it at about 2 weeks or so. And then the first week, you know, before that, they actually had the individual workouts. So a lot of guys have been in town longer than the 2 weeks. So good that they were able to get on the floor. Good that both Naz Reid and Keelan Martin, who are guys that are trying to cement a bench spot, could be, you know, something like the 9th or 10th guys, 8th or 9th guys in the rotation. And, I think that I think that it's good that they're showing out early in camp. Those are guys that the Wolves are expecting to see something out of, with no Malik Beasley in the bubble, no Karl-Anthony Towns, no Juancho Hernan Gomez. Those guys are all going to have a little bit more opportunity to show what they can do. I mean, the Wolves don't have any big men outside of Towns. Naz Reid is the only guy. You know, James Johnson, I guess, and Jared Vanderbilt are the only other ones, but those guys are more four than five. And aren't, you know, Reed's the only guy that's close to 7 feet on the roster right now that's in camp. So good to see those numbers. Good to see some of those highlights. And, you know, good that the bubble's rolling on without some of these guys. As Rosas said late last week, there is a chance that guys who aren't in the bubble now could join the bubble. So we don't know what Towns' plans are. It wouldn't be shocking if he just showed up midway through camp and did a hard quarantine and decided to play. As of now, based on his social media accounts, he's still out of the country is what it looks like. So not sure what kind of impact that might have on entering the bubble. If there's a longer quarantine for international travel, I have no idea. But it's something to pay attention to here. If there is any movement towards him re-entering the bubble. All right, the draft news that I wanted to talk about. So Jonathan Wasserman at Bleacher Report, we actually just talked about his latest mock draft last week. He had like three proposed trades in the top 10 of his mock draft and none involving the Timberwolves. He published a piece early on Monday this week that says that the headline is NBA draft buzz. If top pick isn't traded, sources expect LaMelo Ball to go first. So I'm going to read a couple of the quotes he's got related to the Timberwolves. He says, the buzz is the Timberwolves are not sold on any prospect. They're still trying to trade down. This is reading directly from the article now. The article says, according to a Western Conference executive, word around the league is Minnesota isn't leaning one way at number one, sounds, quote, confused and feels pressure after, quote, messing up last year by trading for Jarrett Culver. The belief is that Minnesota's priority is to trade realistically down the board, assuming an established star won't become available. If the Wolves stick at number one, multiple sources say they'd bet on LaMelo Ball having the edge over Anthony Edwards. Rival scouts have mentioned fit issues with Ball in Minnesota, specifically his ability to play alongside other ball-dominant players and whether a team's defense featuring Ball, D'Angelo Russell, and Karl-Anthony Towns has any chance in a seven-game series against Western Conference opponents. But Ball also has a chunk of support as the draft's top overall prospect, and with President of Basketball Operations Gerson Rosa still unsure about the makeup of his team, fit might not factor into Minnesota's decision. And then he lists some trade-down targets: Denny Avdija, Isaac Okoro, Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Vassell, Patrick Williams. Could make a case for Obi Toppin as well if he wants to go all in on offense. So these are all things we've said here on the show really for weeks now. And this is my belief as well. I mean, he says several executives reported this, that the Wolves are going to take the guy who's best on their board if they can't trade back, if they can't find a trade for an established star or a starting caliber player. Of course, you know, if they've got LaMelo Ball number one on their board, of course they're going to take him. They're not going to worry too much about positional fit, especially as we've talked about at length, Ball and Russell can work together in the backcourt in 2020 and 2021 as a primary and secondary, really two primary playmakers within the offense. I mean, ideally Ball would be a little bit of a better shooter, but it's not like Anthony Edwards is a knockdown guy either. And there's some indication, you know, Ball's shot and his shot selection is an issue, but his actual form on his shot and some of the other, you know, his touch in the paint, his floater game, all those things suggest that there is some upside there. And if he can become an average or slightly better shooter, that's what D'Angelo Russell is. He's a little better than average from deep. They both will shoot it from deep. They have a quick trigger and they're going to shoot it if they're open. Combine that with Karl-Anthony Towns being able to score from anywhere and you figure out the wings later. I think that is definitely what the Wolves are going to do if they can't move the pick. I still think what they'd like to do is trade the pick. Their second option is going to be to draft Ball. I don't think that they take Edwards. I definitely don't think they're going to take James Wiseman, and I don't think they're going to surprise anybody. I think they're more concerned about value than they are about reaching for, even if there's a player that they think is the best player. Say they think Killian Hayes or Obi Toppin or Tyrese Haliburton or somebody's the best player in the draft. They're not going to take him at one. They're going to trade back and take him. And so I think those are the three most likely scenarios. Number one being they're doing their best to trade the pick for something for an established player. Number two being they take LaMelo Ball. Number three being they trade back a little bit and take one of the, you know, somebody else at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, wherever they end up trading back to. If nothing else, it was fascinating to see some actual reporting on the draft and some executives that are sticking their neck out there and saying this is what they think the Wolves are going to do. Of course, all that can be taken with a grain of salt this time of year. Well, typically this would be 3 months in the past, but you know what I mean? The weeks leading up to the draft. there's all kinds of smoke screens and things going on out there. I mean, this all makes sense though, that the Wolves would lean towards LaMelo Ball if they aren't able to trade the pick. All right. Next up, I want to put a bow on today's show by talking about a team that I think the Wolves could look at in terms of team building that isn't the Denver Nuggets, that have built their team in a unique way. And I'll give a hat tip to one of the writers over at Dunking with Wolves here in just a moment. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Not only that, it's new and improved. I don't know how it could get any better, but guess what? It has. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. There were 12 original flavors. There's now 6 brand new flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors, from caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, to lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Every single one of these bars is covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight, maintain weight, while still indulging in a delicious treat that, again, tastes just like a candy bar. They're all low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. They're perfect if you're on a keto diet. For a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase at BuiltBar.com, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off. All right, let's talk about this other team that the Timberwolves could try and emulate when it comes to team building. And really, this is just an example of another team in a relatively small market, or at least, I guess, a market that does not attract a lot of free agents. And they built their team through the draft and trades. And that is the Indiana Pacers. So we already talked about Denver. And I want to give props to Chris Norton. He's one of our contributors at DunkingWithWolves.com. Of course, that's the website that I'm the co-editor for, part of the Fansided Network. And Chris wrote last week about a couple of markets that the Timberwolves could try and copycat, really, in the way that they're trying to build their team, try and be creative. One Denver and one Indiana. And I talked about this pretty extensively, actually, much earlier in the year, and about the way that they built their team. I think Paul Millsap's like the only guy on that team that was acquired in free agency. Everybody else was a draft, second round pick or a trade. They also drafted really well in the first round. I mean, you look at rotation guys that they have that have been drafted notably recently. This is Denver now. Obviously, Jokic was a second round pick back in 2014. Emmanuel Mudiay, didn't quite live up to seventh pick status. Jamal Murray was a great pick. Juancho Hernangómez and Malik Beasley were in that same draft in 2016. Monty Morris was a second round pick, backup point guard for them. Michael Porter Jr., 14th pick, and had some injury concerns, but they went ahead and took him. Bol Bol wasn't a huge part of what this team did this year, but he was a second round pick in 2019 as well. Another guy who slipped a little bit in the draft, and the Nuggets weren't afraid to just go ahead and take him. So, I mean, switching gears to the Pacers, look at how this team is built. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon was a star for the Bucks and signed his extension with the Bucks last summer as part of a sign-in trade with Indiana. So the contract was technically signed with Milwaukee, but was part of the sign-in trade. And this was several draft picks. So the Bucks ended up getting a couple of second rounders and a first rounder. There's some protections on it, but essentially a first rounder and a couple of seconds for Malcolm Brogdon, and obviously had to pay him. But that was a savvy sign-in trade. The rest of the roster, Victor Oladipo was a trade. That was the Paul George trade. And people weren't really sure what they were doing. They were just trying to get somebody with some upside. Oladipo, of course, has been fantastic in Indiana, much better than he was in Orlando or Oklahoma City. TJ Warren was basically acquired for nothing, cash considerations from the Suns. Domantas Sabonis was part of the Paul George return as well. So getting both Oladipo and Sabonis was just really a coup for the Pacers, especially considering how the Paul George era kind of wound down in Oklahoma City. And Miles Turner was the 11th overall pick. I mean, that's the majority of their rotation, their best players for the most part. And that roster was not built through free agency. It never really is in Indiana. It never really is in Denver. And it's not going to be in Minnesota either. Karl-Anthony Towns was, of course, a draft pick. D'Angelo Russell, of course, was acquired via trade. You look at the other, Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernangómez, were both acquired via trade. Josh Okogie, Jarrett Culver, draft picks. All the rest of these rotation guys, the only guys that were free agent, I mean, Jake Lehman was a sign and trade. James Johnson was a trade. Some of these other guys, Jordan McLaughlin was undrafted, signed as a two-way player. Same with Keelan Martin, undrafted, played a year as a pro elsewhere, signed as a two-way player. And the Wolves filled out the roster last year with tradable free agent contracts. Noah Vonleh, Shabazz Napier is a trade, actually. Noah Vonleh, Jordan Bell. And so there are, you know, the roster could be filled out with some of those pieces, but there aren't going to be major free agent signings in Minnesota. And that's never really been the case. So Minnesota is clearly going to try and build through the trade and build through the trade market and build through the draft as they've done. And obviously you need to strike gold on a couple of these picks. And Jarrett Culver really appears to, at least at this point, have been a mistake. Although, you know, we're 1 year into this thing. He's 21 and there's still some upside there. Josh Okogie was a good pick at number 20 by the previous regime. And the team needs to find these bargains, the Jake Lehmann type bargains, swapping out pieces that don't fit quite as well, that are a little more expensive in Gorgui Dieng for guys that fit better and are tradable like James Johnson, and just kind of massaging this roster in the same way that the Pacers have done. And if, and I don't know that anybody really felt, I certainly didn't feel like the Pacers were going anywhere fast a couple of years ago as, you know, Miles Turner was kind of emerging. But the question was, you know, they're moving on from Paul George. What's happening next? They're just going to be a middling team in the Eastern Conference. But then they've now won, they won 48 games last year. Winning percentage was similar this year. They won 40 games in an abbreviated season. 2 years ago, they won 48 games. All that under Nate McMillan, who of course was fired this year. So while their style of play was not super modern, they were winning games. And unfortunately for them, they were swept in the first round of the playoffs by Miami, who of course now goes on to the finals. So that looks not quite as bad at this point. But they were last in the league in three-point attempts. And you know, they last in the league in free throw attempts as well, which is just shocking that in this day and age, a team went 45-28. That was 30th in three-point attempts per game and 30th in free throw attempts per game. But they were so good everywhere else and so effective and really just super good defensively. They were a top five defensive team by almost any measure. And that's how this team was put together. There isn't an outstanding offensive superstar on this team. Malcolm Brogdon's very effective, but he had a little bit of a down year shooting the three. Domantas Sabonis was good, but also didn't shoot the three. Jeremy Lamb got hurt midway through the season, which obviously, you know, really, really hurt them. But this team was built creatively. Very similar to Denver, and the Wolves need to try and beat Denver at their own game with that D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns pairing, you know, some similarities, of course, to Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, as we talked about the other day. But there are some other teams that have done it in a similar way to the Timberwolves. Milwaukee's in the process of doing it. They tend to, it feels like they pick up free agents at a little bit of a higher rate than the Nuggets, a little more aggressive in free agency than the Nuggets and the Pacers. But we'll see how that comes together in Milwaukee if they're able to keep Giannis and you know, they're going to try and trade for another star, you know, whether it's Chris Paul. There's been lots of rumors out there if they target Chris Paul, who I don't love the fit with Giannis, but obviously it would work to some extent. Milwaukee's going to have to be trying aggressive to keep Giannis and to continue to improve that roster here moving forward. So at any rate, the Timberwolves should definitely look at both Denver and Indiana as smaller market examples, teams that don't attract a ton of free agents, and try and emulate some of what they're doing as they move forward and try and massage their roster, become, you know, right now you could argue they're one of the bottom two or three teams in the West, especially given, you know, who knows what's going to happen now with Malik Beasley and his situation, or Karl Anthony Towns moving forward, obviously is a bigger question. But there, while there's a lot to be optimistic about with the Timberwolves, it also, there's certainly teams that have done things much better in a similar situations and done them much quicker. And those are the teams that the Timberwolves and that Gerson Rosas should be paying close attention to. All right, that's all we have for today here on the show. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Remember, this is a daily show. We'll be back Tuesday. That's tomorrow. And of course, throughout the rest of the week, all the way through Friday, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. We're going to get back into big board talk. And as we get towards the back part of the lottery, inch closer to the number 17 pick that the Wolves possess here a little bit later in the week. A reminder that today's show was brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.